Hi guys, my name is Tinwola and welcome to my podcast. As you all know, if you've been following me, you know that I've been doing this podcast for some time now. I'm talking much more about abuse. And this particular season is actually on sexual abuse. I've done 6 episodes, so if you haven't catch up, you should do that right away. On this episode I brought a guest, so we're going to talk about our experience. We're going to talk about ways that we can much more, like, so she can actually get some sort of help so she can talk about it, because I believe that sometimes when we talk about these things it helps a lot. We've had other guests on the show who've come on and then talk about their experience and how they feel lighter. So I'm going to let my guest tell us a little bit about her if she wants to. And yeah, so thank you, my guest, for coming on the show. And I'll let you do a little bit introduction of yourself if you want to.
Well, thank you very much, Tino. I'm so excited to be on your podcast. I've always wanted to share my story, and I do hope people would learn, be educated, and try to just be better as individuals as we grow up, because growing up wasn't really rosy or sweet for me, and I don't even pray for my children to ever go through what I went through. So that's it. Yeah, and I'd like to remain anonymous.
Great,
because I don't know.
Okay, I totally get it. No problem.
But so, I know my listen to this, and I don't want them to know.
Of course. We'll take that in consideration. So, can you just tell us a little bit about how it started and how old you were?
Okay, if I can remember correctly, it started when I was 6. My parents got divorced when I was 6 years old. And so I remember vividly, my mom and my dad were living in church then. I attended a white garment church. And then I remember we were living in church at that point of my life. And then there was this person, we call them church Levites. Other churches, other denominations call them church workers. And this man is like pressing a lot of little children when they come to church. He's always playing with us, he's always talking to us, helping us with assignments. Because in my church, the kind of church I go to, a lot of little children after school, they come to church to play, have fun, enjoy, do service and all. As at that time, my parents and I lived in church. And so whenever I come back from school, I always go to church. And this person is always there to help in my assignment. So, to say, and, okay, you know when you sit on a man's leg, I can remember it, I can still picture it happening right now. When you sit on a man's leg and then you feel his deep rising, I used to feel it then growing up as a child, like as at that point of my life. And I was like, I'm always uncomfortable. But then it would pin me down, make me sit on it and everything. At the point, he started putting his hand, in my vagina and all. And I remember one year, I was having my bath. And then I pulled my pants and I found blood on it. I didn't know at that point that it was blood or it was something. It was when I grew up, I later realized that at that point it was blood. I saw the blood. I just quickly washed my panties and then just went to put it somewhere so nobody would see it. Because I didn't know what that was. It was really strange to me. And I didn't want other people to see or talk about it. I didn't want anybody to know about it, because before you know, questions start coming in. And I didn't want that. Yeah, so I just went after washing the panties, I spread them, I pretended as if nothing happened, continued. Yes, I think till we left the church, or probably till the man left. I don't really remember. Yeah, that was like the first time I was 6 or 7. Yeah. I think it started when I was 6, and I think we left the church when I was 8.
Oh, okay. So when you discovered the blood was when you were, let's say you were 7, 8. Okay, yes. So at that time, did you tell anybody? Did anybody find out? Was your mom like?
No,
did she find out? Nobody found out.
Nobody. Okay, the thing is, because my parents were going through a divorce at that point, the whole family was more or less like everybody on their own. There was nobody I could talk to. And you know, whenever two parties are fighting, it's the middleman that is always bearing the brunt of it. So I really didn't have anybody to talk to. My younger brother was with my grandma. I was the only one staying with my parents when the divorce happened. So there was nobody to take care of me. There was nobody I could talk to or anything. So I was more or less like I was on my own. And I, as a child, I was really timid and always scared of talking to people. So I was really scared, and I think I remember the man threatening me not to tell anybody, don't tell anybody, don't tell the mom, don't tell your dad. So there was nobody. My dad was a police officer, so I can imagine how maybe he was scared that if I told my dad, my dad would have probably killed him, but my dad didn't joke with me, like he joke about anything that concerns me. So I guess that was why he threatened not to tell anybody. And so I also didn't tell anybody because I was scared.
Okay. And like during that time that the man was there, were you the only person he was doing all this to? Did you find out in that he was doing with other people?
I don't know if he was doing it with other people, but I guess he would have done it, because if he could do it to me, there were a lot of little children in the church at that time. So I guess he would have done it to them a lot of times too. Mm.
Okay. And till today, nobody found out what that man did. Even if it's not with you, but with other kids, nobody found out what he did.
I don't think anybody found out, because after we left church, my family and I, we didn't go back to that church again. We only go there once in a while. And I think when I went, the last time I went there, the man had left church long, long ago, or maybe died. I really don't even know. I can't remember the man's face anymore. I don't know anything about him, so I really don't know if he did that or if anybody found that something like that.
Did anybody, like, till today, did he come out in public that man did something to kids?
I don't think so. And even if he did, I don't think I would have heard, because we left the church already.
Okay.
I don't think so. We left the church a long time ago. And so I don't think so, even if it, and I don't even remember his face anymore.
Wow. So which means today, if you meet him on the road, you can't even like say, this is the person.
I can't.
Well, you don't remember him, but karma will. That's a fact.
Yeah.
I want to ask also, like, is that the only experience you've had, or you've had other experience too?
Unfortunately, no. I experienced it several times after that from different people, like several times from the same person at different places and all. When I was in primary school, our gate man. Okay, then I attended a very popular primary school at that time. And we used to do something called extra lessons. Our normal closing time was 3:30, and then we do extra lessons till 5 or 6. And then I used to do extra lessons. And we were not really much that did extra lessons then. So the school was always almost empty. Aside from the students, the teachers that teaching, and the gate man, because even the school bus would have left to drop kids at their parents' house. So the one of the primary school the gate man owned, I remember then, because after my parents got divorced, actually things were really hard. My dad was transferred to another state. My mom was more or less like a single mom, because the old divorce issue, my dad wasn't really performing with the bills and all. So I didn't used to have enough. I didn't have enough to take to school then. So by the time I was doing my extra lesson, I was always really hungry. and everything. So one day I went to beg the man. The man was a really old man. I went to beg the man that was hungry that you please give me 20 naira so I can buy something and eat and all. And the man called me. The man called me into one of the classrooms there that was really dark. Then he sat down, put his pants in, his trousers down, and then asked me to touch his penis and play with it where he would give me money.
God, an old man for that matter.
I'm telling you, I was, because I'd gone through this kind of thing before. And so, experiencing it again, I was just really sad and angry. And I think that was what made me grow up as a very angry child. I was very rebellious. I was very angry as a child. I was always angry. I was never happy. I was always frowning. Because having gone through all those experiences, I was always angry that why did he always have to be me? Why did he always have to be me? If this man sees me, to send me a message, he'd always want to touch me, he'd always do nasty things. Like, why did he always have to be me? I'm not the only girl in the world. Like, why did he have to be me? So, several times after that incident happened, I don't think I touched it. I did not, because I was really, really hot, and then I got scared that this man could do something worse since there was nobody there. And then I just collected the money from him. I actually didn't do anything with him, and I left. Then it continued. If he sees me anytime, he's like, I should come and see me. Come. He would always offer me money, always offering me money so that I could do things. I'll collect money from him and I won't do anything. As in, at the point, I was already wise that time, and I knew that, okay, this is what he wants. I'll tell you, give me money. I'll come back after my lesson. I'll come and do it for you. So I'll collect money and I'll run away. If I see him the next morning at the gate, I'll pretend that it's like not him. Quickly run into the school, and in the evening again, I now stay avoiding him because I knew that if this man sees me alone, he can only just carry me and do something with me. And I was scared, and I couldn't tell the teachers. I believe if I told the teachers, then they might have done something about it, because my school was a Catholic primary school. So, but I couldn't, because I was really scared, and I was scared. The first time the man tried, he told me not to tell anybody. That if I tell anybody, he will report me to the perpetrators. I was trying to do something stupid. And
you're just
and
a child.
I went to a Catholic primary
school. Even at that, you were just a child.
The thing is, my primary school was a Catholic, very strict Catholic primary school. They did not condone any form of indiscipline. So I guess the man could have lied that I insulted him, or I tried to steal something, or so. And I knew the result of doing something like that, you could be beaten on the
assembly ground,
or you can be suspended. And at that time, being flogged on the assembly ground was like, they should carry you to National Stadium and call everybody in Nigeria and start flogging you. So I didn't want that. I didn't want my parents, my mom and my dad, to come to the school or anything. So that one happened. A particular teacher in the school also tried it with me. I think it was our computer teacher then.
And how old were you during this one?
And when I was in primary school, I graduated out of primary school when I was nine. So I was within the age of 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Yes, 7, 8, 9. So that was when all those ones happened. So. And then while that one was going on in school, I was facing some at home. So imagine leaving school, facing abuse in school, and then getting home and facing the same
problems at home. There's practically no safe place. There was no safe place for you.
Yes. Yes. So there was really nothing. And then when I was in primary school, I didn't stay with my mom. Because after my parents divorced, my mom had to start looking for a way she could work hard to get a place for us. I was living at other people's houses. That place I stayed, the woman was really nice. She had really grown-up children. But then there were some family members that brought their children to also live with us. So those children were ladies. Apparently, they were lesbians. So they were trying to lure me, or just probably, you know, this lesbianism and all now, how they do. they will try to touch me, they will try to get me to have sex with them, sleep with them, they will kiss me, do lots and lots of things with me. Then imagine facing men in school and then coming back women. To face girls in school. And also, that was how it was till I left. After I graduated from primary school, I left the place. I told my mom I wanted to leave. I was going to come and leave with her. I wasn't comfortable staying there again. And when I finished here, when I finished primary school, I went back to my mom's place. My mom was living with my big mom then. That's our elder sister. And then that was the beginning of another phase. To think I had escaped, I didn't know I was just going from fry pan to fire. And then in that house, there was a guy, his name is Ben. I heard he's a pastor now, anyways. So in that house where my big mom lived, there was a church there, a Redeem church. And then most of us, we attended the Redeem church. I started going to that church because that was where my big mom was and I lived with her. So I started going to the Redeem church. There were a lot of young people, pastors and all. Benjamin was like one of the young guys in the church. I'd started secondary school, high school at that time. And let me say, because of all these issues, all these things I was facing, I became a really quiet child. I stopped talking. I really didn't talk. I hated talking a lot. I didn't want to be around people because I always get scared that this time, if I see this person, I'll have this idea that, okay, this person, I want to do something with me. This person, I want to do. So I didn't have lots of friends. I didn't talk. In primary school, I was bullied. Secondary school, I was bullied till I got to my GSS 3 class because I didn't talk to anybody. I was always scared of speaking out. Till today, I still battle with it because I really don't know how to speak out till now. So Benjamin was another person I had to face. Benjamin would call me, see me, and be like, I want to finger. These people were really mean. They were really crazy people. They were like, I want to finger you.
What?
I want to touch you. I want to do this. I want to do that. He knew then that my mom wasn't giving me enough money to go to school. So they would be like, come, I can finger you. We'll give you money. So this 15 naira. How much your mom is to give? He asked me one day how much my mom gave me to school. I said 15 naira. 1 and 5. 15 naira. And he was like, you see, come, if I finger you, I'll give you 15 naira. All and all, but I was so angry. And at that time, he was doing the same thing to one of my friends that lived beside our house. So she told her mom, and her mom came, shouted at him and all and everything. For me, because I knew the kind of house I came from, I don't think anybody would have believed me. Nobody would have. So I just kept quiet. But he still kept on, he did, kept tormenting, kept doing everything and all. But because I really didn't give him face, we became sworn enemies, like we became total enemies. Meanwhile, in school, I didn't allow anybody to talk to me when I was in my secondary school. Like anybody that tried to touch me, I can slap him or I'll report him to the principal because I really hated guys at that point. They knew me then in secondary school. They didn't know that I was fighting one battle. They're like, you're always angry. I don't know why you hate me. I can't allow you touching, bro. Like, you can't. Do you understand? If any boy tries touching me, the next thing, my defense is to just hit. Because I'd become so used to someone trying to touch me.
So the only way you could defend yourself.
That was my defense mechanism. Yes. So there was an incident that happened. I was sleeping in the house. In our house there, we had burglary in front of our door. So even if we are indoors, sometimes we lock the burglary and then we stay indoor. Nobody, if anybody comes, we just open. So it was late in the evening. There was no light. And folks, they went outside to take fresh air. I was the only one. I think I was sick at that time. So I slept. They left me in the house. I slept. And you would not believe that Benjamin, Benjamin lived in our house too, in the same house with us. So Benjamin actually opened the burglary and entered and tried to touch me.
Sorry, and tried to what?
I woke up and I touched me. It's not even touched, tried to, it touched me. It was not, you know, I woke up and I saw him and he ran out. So I stood up immediately, went outside, told my mom, told my auntie, told my big mommy, and they were like, what? They start shouting, they start shouting, like, why would you do something like this? Then you will not believe, they went to his sister's place because he was living with his elder sister. They went, they shouted. He would not believe that this boy denied it. He denied it. Like, he denied ever. That how is it possible for me to open our gate? That if he had opened the gate, that my folks would have heard wherever they sat. That's not possible. And then, it's just like, sitting here, and then, I don't know, if the distance from our own apartment to the front of the house was quite a lot. So even if you had opened the gate, no one would have heard at the front because they were probably not paying attention. He denied it, that it's not possible. How would you have entered? That it's not possible. This one, that one, it made me look like a liar. His other sister was like, why? I'm an evil child. I want to cause trouble between the two families. That he could never have done that. That would just make me more angry. And then I closed in, like, I went back into my shell totally, like, I ate it. I don't know, God forgive me, I'm a Christian, I'm giving my life to Christ, but then I don't think I can ever let that go. If I see this boy today, I don't think I can ever forget it. He's a pastor now, anyways. But then, I don't give any fuck. So, pardon
me. No, please, language, go ahead. Please.
So, that happened, then my mom left my big mom's house. We got an apartment and I got another round. I don't know. So whenever I think about it, I just feel like, was it that somebody cursed me right from birth that I would be facing these things at every point in my life, at every stage in my life, not just going from one place to another and you're facing the same thing. Yeah, oh, while Benjamin Zone was happening, the owner of the house where my big mommy lived, she had a school and she had a son. So after secondary school, then we had a private teacher that used to come and teach us. So he would come, Mr. John, yeah, Mr. John. He was a teacher in my secondary school. And then Mr. John, after teaching, Mr. John would go and then the woman's son would come. Pastor, landlord's son and everything and all. Until one day he just took me to his mom's office. He was quite older than I am, like quite older. And then he just put down his pants. And I was like, damn unfortunate.
What? this is something else. Like,
it was like damn unfortunate.
What audacity?
Like, this person is a boss. He's a boss. The boss, this colleague of Mpusuyi. So imagine me, like, and he locked the door.
Shit.
He locked the door after we entered the this thing. But because I was used to these things happening to me, I knew how crazy they could be if I did not do whatever they wanted me to do. So while they were saying that she's touching and giving money and everything, I just told him that, oh, I heard my name. I want to go and meet my mom. My mom is calling me. That's when he quickly voiced through this and opened the door. That was how I was able to escape. So I started avoiding him. I started avoiding him and I hated him. Like, I didn't want. When if anybody talks about him, he's a good boy, he's a this. I'll just be like, people don't know anything. Good waiting.
They're all wolves in sheep clothing.
But I couldn't. He was really, really close to my family, like really, really close. That he comes around, they cook, he eats, like can come with money and go at night. Like that was how close
he was.
They send him on errands and everything. So while everybody was always praising him, I always saw him as this is a demon. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't know. And oh, that one went by a lot of young people too. Oh, my elder brother's friend. I don't want to mention this.
Your older brother's friend.
I don't want to. Yes, because I don't want to smear his name or whatever reputation he has right now. I still saw him last year at my brother's wedding. And oh, there's this injury on his forehead. I gave him that injury. I actually threw a big stone at his forehead. But nobody knew why I did that at that time. Nobody knew that he had been trying to abuse me. And then we come back from school that day and he was trying to play and I wasn't having it. So I threw stone on him. It was a big wound. My parents flogged me. They didn't know that Omar was trying to protect me.
Okay. They did not know what happened. What did he say happened to his head?
No, they knew. No, they actually knew that was one that hit him. His parents came to our house to complain because it was a very huge wound that it had to be stitched. But they didn't know why I did it.
And they never cared to ask.
Oh, she's an angry child. They never. It just felt like I was an angry child. Probably because I didn't want to play the team. That was why I did that. Your son was trying to touch me. But even people will not understand. And until today, he still has that wound on his forehead, and I like it.
Yeah,
and
it's a reminder. It's a daily reminder.
So the last time he saw me and my brother, and he was like, "Oh, damn, you are so grown. Wow, how are you now? What's up? Do you have a girlfriend now?" I was like, "Oh, Benny, leave me alone." But I'm sure he would not even remember. He might not remember because his younger sister is my friend. And he knows that. He doesn't even joke with his younger sister, just like my elder brother doesn't joke with me. So he knows that if anything has come out at that point, almost it has been fire. So let's just keep it like that. After my mom moved to our own place, house we lived in, there was a nylon factory beside me. There were some guys there. They called the small ladies in the house. God, please, whoever is listening to this podcast, I beg of you, if you're a guy, you're a lady, please let's grow up to be better people in the society. And if you grow up, you get married, please pay attention to your children.
Very important.
Pay attention to them when. Pay attention to them when you find out they start withdrawing from the society, when they stop being as friendly as they used to be, when they always flinch or they always react whenever they see a particular person. Please pay attention to them. Try to ask them questions. Like, my mom didn't ask, nobody asked. So, and then I feel like even if they had,
do you have talked?
I had already gone. So cold.
That's it.
I just feel like everything that was happening keeps happening, and I don't care anymore at this point. I really don't care. Anything that wants to happen. Those people. I remember one incident. I was having issues with my assignments, and I went to meet one of the guys that worked in the factory, and it was like, before he answered my question, what happened with him? And they will give me 5 naira.
Pardon?
5 naira. A secondary school child. I was in secondary school for crying out loud. They give me 5 naira.
It's like, wait, it's not even about the amount or anything. It's stupid. Why would you want to keep some? I need your help to do my assignment. And the next thing you're telling me is I'll give you.
I am telling you. Yes, that was what he said. His name is Ruben. Yes, calling him Ruben. And then he told me that before he opened my assignment, I had to kiss him. That he doesn't kiss him, he opened my assignment for me, blah blah blah. And then he forced me to kiss me forcefully. And I remember I stood up immediately and just took my book and left, and I stayed avoiding him. And his cousins were my friends, and all. So anytime I saw him then, I always avoided him because I just knew, oh, this person probably will be trying to book. Anytime he sees me, he will be all so nice. "Hi, Dami, how are you? How are you doing? How was school today? Do you have assignment to do?" But I know that this is not... You're a liar. You're a liar. You don't want to do anything for me. You just want to just destroy my life. I don't want you anywhere close to me. And then there was an old man in the house I lived in. So apparently this man was doing it to every young girl in the house. He would invite us in. He would put porn We put porn on his TV.
What?
And invite us in. Then the man used to tie just the Torah around that time. The man used to tie just the Torah around at that time. And then he would invite us into his room. Probably three of us. The day mine happened was invited three of us. I, Esther, and Rashida. He sent Rashida to buy food. He sent Esther to buy him water and meat. I was left in the room. I was like, when they come back, I send those ones. And I was left alone. Put on his TV and it was fun.
Ah.
I was like, do I like what I'm saying? Am I enjoying it? Can I do that?
Producers are everywhere.
Then he moved this door. He moved this door. And then I was like, I should come. Let's do same thing those people are doing on the TV. I should come and lie down on the bed and all. And then I got scared that, okay, so this is happening. But I wasn't really scared because, one, it was an old man. I knew that if I gave him a punch, he would have probably died. I wasn't really scared of him cutting me because at the point I was already too angry that if anything like that was about to happen, I just got angry and left there immediately. So I told him that I don't know how to do it. He was like, okay, go into your room, go and pull your dress and tie a wrapper and come back to the room. I said, okay, and I left. That was how I was able to escape. When I got outside, I was shaking so hard that one of our neighbors saw me. Me and Sister Ngozi, we used to call her Sister Ngozi. One of our neighbors saw me and was like, what is wrong, Dad? What is wrong? I was so scared, like something I can't even tell my mom. I can't tell anything
about
my family. So why would I tell the stranger? I was really scared, but I was shaking. And she could say it, so she was like, okay, calm down, tell me what happened. Did anybody beat you? Did anybody try to do anything to you? So I mentioned the man's name. I was like, what happened? What did he do? Did he touch me? Did he slap me? What happened? And then I explained everything to her. And she was so angry. She started shouting. But fortunately for the man, and unfortunately for him, there was nobody there. People were not in the compound. It was just some of the little children, she, and those people working in the factory. And most of them had left. So people were really not in the house on that day, but she was shouting. She was so anxious, like, what kind of nonsense is that? I imagine what is going to a young child. That, can you imagine? It's the one that is supposed to be correcting anybody, even anybody. She now told me that when my mom comes, so I should tell my mom. It's like, wahala, tell my mom, okay. How would I even open my mouth to tell her that? She was like, when my mom comes, I should tell her. I said, okay. Then the next day, my mom didn't go to work. And she was beating my mom. I was really scared when she started beating my mom. Because growing up, my mom was a very, very strict parent. She was really, really strict. So I was even always scared of talking to her or offending her. Talking of her now getting something like that from an outsider happening to me. And because I already had the mentality that it was my fault. It was always my fault. But I felt in my mom, she should have beaten me. Instead, and not reacted towards the man. So she greeted my mom. When she started greeting my mom, I came out. She was like, hey, she told me, did Dami even tell me that something like this happened yesterday? She said, did Dami tell you anything happened yesterday? And I was like, no, that what happened? Did she fight again? Did she do this one? Did she fight again? No. Then she mentioned the man's name. And I told my mom everything. My mom was so angry. God. My mom.
Hello, Dami. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Hello.
Mom found out and all. She was really mad. She was really, really angry and had to call all her family members, my aunt, my uncle, and everything. And the police got involved. They wanted to lock the man up. They even wanted to invite my dad, but then people had to beg and beg because if they had gotten my dad, that man would have been jailed. Like, he would have been jailed. So after that happened, the man's family and my mom's family, they didn't talk for a long year, like a period of years. Like, they didn't talk because they were like, because everybody already knew that it's because of this man that police came to the house, and everybody knew what he did already. So, and a lot of people on the street also knew that something like this had transpired, and a lot of people on the street started looking at me one kind of way, some type of way. And then it got me more and more angry that, okay, now everybody knows that that is that girl that was almost raped or abused. And I was really, really angry all over. When the young girls in the street, they wanted to be friends with me, I turned them down. The boys, I didn't talk to anybody. I practically didn't have anybody to talk to on the street or call my friends. I just had female friends from school that were my, that came to my house to visit me, and then the young girls in my house that were friends. So growing up, I just always had this thing in my head that I would always want to have probably an NGO or an initiative of young ladies that had been abused, an initiative that advises or educates people on the dangers of sexual abuse, like have like a safe space for ladies to come together to talk about their experiences, to educate those that were having trauma, they were experiencing trauma, like have people talk to them. Because I don't know why it never affected my academics, but then growing up I was just so angry that probably because my parents were poor, there was no money, and then we didn't have the resources to take care of ourselves. That was why these things were happening to me. So my anger, I directed it towards becoming somebody really, 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 really famous in life, such that I'll be able to look back at those times and say, yes, despite all what I went through, I really, really came out strong. I was really angry, like I was really bitter. I was always angry, and I think that was one part where I really, really excelled, where I overcame. In a way, I won in that aspect. Instead of allowing those things, my experiences, to pull me down or to stop me from being the great thing, doing the great things I want to do in life, I projected that anger towards being a really, really successful person. I'm not fully where I want to be right now, but then I believe I'm no longer where I want to be. Yes, I struggle with low self-esteem. I don't know how to speak up in public yet. I have imposter syndrome. I go in and out of bad mood swings. I deal with mood swings, terrible mood swings. A lot of things mentally. I'm not there yet. And then I can't be here for a guy to touch me because I always feel scared, and my next defense is to eat anybody that tries to eat me. I really don't like people touching my skin because I just feel one kind of way touching me and all. So I don't know if this is all, but I should say this is all.
Thank you so much for really telling us your experience. It is really being a very like traumatic experience for you. Even listening to you talk about it sickens me about that, because you've gone through a lot. You practically spent the first 15 years of your life fighting battles everywhere. It is really, really like terrible. But today I am proud of the woman you are.
Thank you, Tino. It was a pleasure sharing my experience, as much as it was really traumatic for me to relive all this experience. But I'm glad I did share it, and I hope someone would learn from me, and I hope we would be better individuals in the society and not go about touching little children. causing trauma in life, not just little children, even adults. Yes, adults, because even as an adult, yes, I have, but then that's really not something I want to talk about again. But please, I just hope we all grow up to be really, really better individuals in the society. Try to be, to educate people, yes, on the dangers of doing these things, yes, because it's really, really not good. And then it causes a lot of hurt, pain to the victims. So thank you so much, Dino, for putting this up. Thank you for the amazing opportunity to share my experience with people. You are really doing a wonderful job with this podcast. Thank you.
It is my pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for sharing. And that's it, guys, on these episodes. And I hope you guys have learned a thing or two. Please, parents, please and please and please, we're still going to beg you, try to have conversations with your kids. If you see that your kids are happy, are manifesting some sort of behaviors, please talk to them. Talk to them so they can be able to trust you, and they will not be as scared of you, rather, they'll not be afraid of you. Please still go back to our parents. Please always try to build a relationship with your kids so that they can trust you with whatever they are going through. Okay, guys, that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye.